Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleCast Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We'll be getting into a little SmackDown talk, a little bit of Clash at the Castle. But the crux of the show this week is going to center on what happens after Clash at the Castle for the WWE, because people are speculating that that's when the Triple H era will really hit full force. And we will see large, grander scale changes in the WWE. So we're going to be discussing some of that. And you know, I had an interesting conversation with a friend, and we were talking about the fact that people like Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, you know, Johnny Gargano, and we were saying, while it is true that these are guys that you, your average wrestling fan, at least your old-school wrestling fan, doesn't look upon as quote-unquote special, because they're not that big. They don't look that tough. It doesn't look like you'd run away from them in a fight. They're not Brock Lesnar. They're not, you know, someone who I would say the old school wrestling that you watched, 90% of the wrestlers were larger than the fans. And that's not true now. And we were saying, did we not go through this already? I mean, if Triple H were to bring back more NXT guys, smaller guys, did we not see this already? I mean, is Johnny Gargano and to a large extent Adam Cole, who now is with AEW, obviously, but when he was in NXT, were they not just less talented version of Shawn Michaels? Were they not just a lesser Chris Benoit or Bret Hart or guys who were normal size and great wrestlers because they could do more than just, you know, wrestle? And we ended the conversation by saying, you know, though, here's the problem. There's a lot of wrestling fans out there. We're not one of them, but there's a lot of wrestling fans out there who never really grew up watching Shawn Michaels. They didn't grow up watching Bret Hart. They don't have those guys as a point of reference. You know, when I was a kid, baseball players pitched 9 innings a lot. If you were a starting pitcher, unless you were getting shelled, you were expected to pitch 8-9 innings on a regular basis. And before I was born, you were pretty much expected to you start and finish the game. You had relief pitchers in case you, but if you weren't crapping out, you finished the game. I mean, go back and take a look at some of your older pitchers, and you'll find, you know, the old timers regularly through 9 innings. But younger fans don't have that as a point of reference, so they say, oh, well, it's just normal that you go 7 and then you're out. It's just normal that you throw 100 pitches and then you're out. So for these fans, our Shawn Michaels, I guess, is their Finn Balor. Our Bret Hart, I guess, is their Johnny Gargano. And we're seeing, I think, sort of a new age in wrestling where these fans, these particular fans, don't necessarily want you to be a character. Now, for the life of me, I'm going to tell you I do not understand that philosophy. And the reason I do not understand that philosophy is there is nothing fun about professional wrestling unless you add in the feuds and the characterizations and everything like that. Otherwise, it's just two men who are good athletes pretending they're fighting. That's all it is. Not that much fun to me. I remember when I was growing up and you see people like Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker and, you know, the Rowdy Roddy Piper and these crazy characters, you know, and you were like, wow. And we didn't have too many of just Jack Smith, who is a really good wrestler, and, you know, we just didn't have that. And I grew up in a time where characterization in wrestling was extremely important. It was the main thing. It was the main thing. It was actually more important than wrestling. And now what they're trying to do, I think, is they're trying to change that. And they're trying to say, we are going to take wrestling to a different level. We're going to take wrestling into an era where it's perfectly acceptable to be called Jake Jones from Duluth, Minnesota, just exactly like the guy who served me my sandwich at Subway. And you're a champion because you're a good athlete. But I want people to remember that the more you press for this, the more you may be bringing the ruination of the business. And I'll tell you why. Show me another entertainment business where your looks don't matter and your perception doesn't matter. Can Woody Allen, now no one's going to deny Woody Allen's a talented director and a talented comedian and a talented actor, correct? Could Woody Allen play in Die Hard as the main character? Would you believe him? Or would you say, well, he's such a good actor. He's a much better actor than Bruce Willis. So therefore, he certainly should do a better job because he has more talent. That's not true. Plenty of great actors out there, Academy Award winning actors. They're not going to play an Arnold Schwarzenegger part because they can't do it. And the reason they can't do it is they don't look like it. You're not going to believe it. And to simply sit there and say, but they have more talent. As long as they have the talent, that's all that counts, right? No. So if that's what you're trying to change professional wrestling into, my argument is it's not going to work. Because fans are going to grow tired of it eventually. Much like Paul Heyman, who said, how much hardcore can you do before you reach a point where we can't do anymore? We just can't. Because if we do any more than we've already done, someone is going to die. Someone's going to get seriously injured. So now we kept adding to it and adding to it and an extra table, and the table's on fire and it's wrapped in barbed wire and we're jumping off a 30-foot balcony to the point where you say, there's nothing left. We have to start going backwards. Because if we go forwards, someone's going to die. Well, it's similar with this. How many five-star matches are you going to see before you say, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I see the false finishes. I've seen this. I've seen that. And you're going to grow tired of it. And you're going to say, I wish some of these people had some personality. Rowdy Roddy Piper, I want you to go back and I want you to watch even his most infamous matches. I want you to watch his dog collar match with Greg the Hammer Valentine. Was he a good wrestler? Was he a five-star wrestler? Or was he a five-star entertainer? And look eyes he brought to the product. Now, I had somebody say, well, you heard the crowd when Johnny Gargano came out. They went nuts. They popped for him. Yeah, they did. Because I think they felt he belongs on the main roster. The WWE has let him go, or he's going to be another one that goes to AEW. But now my question is, can Johnny Gargano be an entertainer? I think to some degree he can. But at the end of the day, no matter what you say, and it is not being prejudiced to say this, he's very, very small. And if you think in your wildest dreams that I'm going to believe a guy that size can get in the ring with Drew McIntyre and hold his own, I'm sorry, I don't. I don't. And most people wouldn't. And the style of wrestling has changed. It used to be when a guy like Shawn Michaels got in a ring with a guy like The Undertaker threw them all around. And Shawn Michaels would eventually go for the heel and wear him down and hit and run and hit and run and hit and run and finally take a cheap shot and somehow get advantage. Now it's, no, I'm just going to stand toe-to-toe with you because you can't say I'm less than you because I'm small. Because if you say that, then you're discriminating against me. So you have to sell my punch as much as I have to sell yours. That's not true. That's not true. Why do you think they have weight divisions in boxing? Because if a featherweight hits a heavyweight, it's not going to be the same. So I'm worried. Because I do think my friend has a point. I think a lot of these wrestling fans, Mike, grew up not seeing Shawn Michaels, not seeing Bret Hart, not seeing some of the smaller guys, the few that the WWE had. And this is their version of those guys. And they don't realize that these guys are just an inferior version of that because they may be better wrestlers, although I don't think anyone's better wrestler than Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart currently on either roster. But they may be at least equal athletes, but they're not better entertainers. And I think now that we're going to have to start drawing a line here and say, is wrestling entertainment or is it going to try to end up more like a sport? And if you want to make it a sport, then I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to fail miserably because sports aren't predetermined.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about it this way. What is the big angle right now in AEW? Right now, the big match is going to be the Jericho Bryan match, right? And what's that all about? That's all about sports entertainment versus wrestling, right? And being that Jericho is the sports entertainer, and of course Daniel Bryan is the wrestler, and that's an interesting thing, and it's an interesting gimmick that we both, all everybody on this show is going to like that, is going to want to see that mask because, you know, we figure that at some point, Jericho's probably going to win that match, but I'm not going to make any predictions right now because I think if they wanted to move away from what they're trying to do in AEW and move more toward the entertainment, Jericho has to win that match. But that's not the point. The point is what's the big angle right now? What's the big anticipated match? Is that Jericho-Bryan match, just for what we were talking about. And you're right. None of these people remember early Ray Jr. when he was 150 pounds, you know, soaking wet, you know, when he was back in WCW with Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko and, you know, Eddie Guerrero and people like that. You know, nobody remembers that. Today's fans don't have that frame of reference. All they remember of Ray Jr. right now is him being about 185, 190 pounds, right? And cut, you know, where he can at least be passable as a guy that can look big and even at 50 years old or 45 years old, whatever he is right now. That's all they remember of Ray Jr., right?
Yeah, but look, when Eddie Guerrero came to the WWE, how much weight did he gain? Why did he do it if size don't matter? Rey Mysterio didn't look like he looks now. Rey Mysterio was skinny as a twig. When he came to the WWE, he bulked up. Montez Ford, beginning to bulk up. Why bother? Why bother? You're beginning to bulk up so you can do what? Fight Johnny Gargano, who isn't going to bulk up? So what's the point? I guess that's what I'm saying. Now, Derek in the chat room saying, well, I think things after Clash at the Castle will probably go, you know, well. But what is well? See, I think we have a problem, and the problem is we have developed two very, very different ideologies as fans. And I think there's like a cuddle. and maybe it's about like 30. And I think fans who are like 30, with exception, 30 and above, feel that wrestling should concentrate on its entertainment value. Yes, we want good matches. Yes, we want competitive matches. But we want larger-than-life characters, people we couldn't hope to look like, people that capture our imagination outside of the ring, people that look special. And under 30 don't give one damn. They want, oh, I'm bigger than him, but he's cool because he's a great athlete. Okay. Well, this is a problem unless you are smart enough to do both. You can do both. But the way things are heading, I worry that what we're looking at is the NXT roster just simply from 4 years ago simply brought up to the WWE, and these are going to be your new top guys. And if that's the case, it's going to be an abysmal failure because you're going to lose the over 30 fans because they're going to say, eh. And you're going to lose the really young fans, like, say, under 14, because they're going to say, well, I'm 13 years old and I'm as big as Johnny Gargano, so... And they don't think of him as like, oh, that's somebody I want their face on a T-shirt. So they're going to lose interest. And what you're going to have is you're going to have a hardcore group of independent-style fans who like indie wrestling, indie work, indie mindset, indie psychology. And that's not going to appeal to the mainstream masses. And when it doesn't appeal to the mainstream masses, right now numbers are great. But let's see what happens 6 months from now when your top guys are former NXT guys who weren't drawn for NXT. That's the thing. If you're not drawn for NXT, I don't know what makes you think you're going to draw on the WWE. That's like saying we tried to play a 2,000-seat club and we sold 1,000 tickets. So we are going to book Madison Square Garden. Well, what makes you think you're going to sell that out? You didn't sell out the smaller venue. Well, it's the same way here. If your ratings for NXT never broke a million, you bringing up everybody from NXT, saying they're now WWE guys, but they're going to look the same, wrestle the same, act the same, be the same, is there any reason for us to think now they're going to do 2.5? See, because as good as Johnny Gargano is, as good as Tommaso Ciampa is, and as much fun as they are to watch when they really get to do what they do, I don't think they have that. They are out of the indie circuit 100%. The guy who broke the mold with this, I'll tell you who it was Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan didn't look special. Daniel Bryan didn't have a special look or whatever, but Daniel Bryan was very good at playing the underdog, and he was very engaging, and his interviews and his promos were exceptional. And because of that, he amassed a huge fan base of even fans that were into the characterization type thing. The Yes Movement and all that became something important. And then other indie-style workers said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. But no, you really can't. You may be as good an athlete and even as good a wrestler, and some people may say arguably better wrestler than Daniel Bryan. But Johnny Gargano's never going to be Daniel Bryan. And Tommaso Ciampa's never going to be Daniel Bryan. They're just not. And as far as Finn Balor, if Finn Balor was over as much as people say he is, he would never have to do the demon. Why would you? I'm so over, people don't need to see the demon character. Why do you think you have that second character in waiting? So truthfully, my thought process on this, Todd, is I'm waiting to see what Triple H does. I'm waiting to see what direction he goes in. We know he's brought up Johnny Gargano. We know he's promoting Tommaso Ciampa, where hearing things about some other NXT former wrestlers coming up. Now I want to see him hire some entertainers. Now I want to see him say, yes, we got Bray Wyatt back. Yes, we're talking possibly about bringing somebody like Rusev back. We're talking about bringing people who are entertaining outside the ring. And not just NXT alumni. And then maybe I'll be a little bit more optimistic.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, bringing Rusev back, bringing rumors. Also, you said there were rumors about Jericho wants to get out of AEW. He's not happy there, wanted to come back. Some entertainers. And like you said, I like to see Triple H do that. But by the looks of it, he's just going to bring NXT guys up.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I'm not 100% sure. There's rumors that Bray Wyatt might be coming back. There's rumors of him talking to some AEW guys, and I know Tony Khan has supposedly sent Stephanie McMahon a cease and desist thing or a nastily worded letter or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. But I want some, what's the right word for it? I want some assurance that Triple H clearly understands that, yes, some of these modern wrestling fans, most of which I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand. And I've talked to them, and I still don't understand them. Because in the same breath that they'll say, oh, man, Andre the Giant was a legend, and Roddy Piper was such a legend. They were so fantastic. They were great. They don't want the next Roddy Piper. They don't want the next whatever. They want Johnny Gargano. Well, okay. So instead of us looking for the next Roddy Piper, you're looking for Johnny Gargano. Instead of us looking for the next, George the Animal Steel, you're looking for the next Tommaso Ciampa. So I don't know why you think they're such legends. If those are the people that you say, oh, yeah, man, I respect the old school. I'm only 20, but I love me some old school, and I got all the figures and everything. Well, don't you want them again so you can experience it? Don't you want larger-than-life characters like that so you can experience it and see what the wrestling fans who grew up with them experienced? Or do you want more Johnny Gargano, who just do good mat work and they're good athletes? You see, in the era that I grew up watching wrestling, a Johnny Gargano, as good as he is, would have been some guy who got beat up every week by the Magnificent Morocco or Earthquake or, whoever. Because those guys were massive characters and he's just a wrestler. Now it seems fans don't want the larger-than-life character. I've heard people say about Bray Wyatt, yeah, I mean, okay, he's good when he does his skits, but he sucks in the ring, and when he gets in the ring, it sucks. Okay. Show me a five-star Andre the Giant match. Is he a legend? Show me a five-star Junkyard Dog match. Is he a legend? Show me a five-star Roddy Piper match. Is he a legend? You're all hung up on this athleticism five-star match bullshit and not enough on that was just plain flat-out entertaining. The modern wrestling fan, Mike, are the equivalent of people who go to see a Steven Seagal movie and say, well, there's no good actors in this movie. These people can't act. They're missing the point. No one ever said it's going to be nominated for an Academy Award. It's not. You know what you're getting when you go into it. You know exactly what you're getting when you go into it. And for you to sit there and say, that guy can't act, this guy can't act, that was dumb, you couldn't do that, that misses the point. And I think a lot of wrestling fans now are doing that, saying, okay, so he's a cool character, but he can't wrestle. And I just I find myself detached from those type of guys because I don't understand what they want out of pro wrestling.
Absolutely. Think about it this way. Go back to the first Captain America movie, Captain America and First Avenger. Captain America was a Chris Evans, right? Good enough
yep.
actor, but he wasn't there to be the actor. He was there to be the guy who did all the Captain America stuff, right? Whereas
right.
the general was played by who? Tommy Lee Jones.
Exactly.
And what was he there to be? He was there to be the general, to be the leader of the whole thing, which ended up being Captain America anyway, because that's how things went in the comic book. But that's neither here nor there. That's what he was. And look, as far as entertainer versus these, one of these guys who actually gets it, that's one of the smaller guys that can wrestle now, we may think that he's doing a poor man's Shawn Michaels, but it's Adam Cole. Adam Cole is a really good wrestler. He may be a little bit thin for our taste, but he's a really good wrestler. But he's got a character. He's got a good characterization. He's got a character. He gets it.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. You can have a mixture, and Triple H can have that mixture. I mean, if you tell me Johnny Gargano is going to start a program with Finn Balor, I'm okay with that. Or AJ Styles, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with it if he's going to start a program with Drew McIntyre or Roman Reigns, because it's silly. It's not going to work, Mike.
Absolutely. And think about it. You know, why would he do? I mean, look, we get even if he was going to start something with like Otis, I would buy him starting something with Chad Gable. About the same size, you know, this, that, and the other. But Chad Gable's the much better wrestler, and Chad Gable's another one that gets it. He's a very good wrestler, but he also has a personality to him, too. He's a sports entertainer, is Chad Gable.
Well, that's absolutely right. If you want to start a program with Chad Gable and Johnny Gargano, I'm fine with that. But then we're starting to get into, again, 205 Live, where we're saying to ourselves, well, we're going to try to keep people separate. And the WWE, I know, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. They didn't even fully commit to that when they had 205 Live, because you had Finn Balor on the main roster, and he clearly was under that weight. So they want the mixture. And I think you can have one. For instance, if I was going to pick one, I would pick Ricochet. Ray is obviously a no-brainer because, to be honest, Ray looks stocky and he's built and he's a legend. But wipe that out. If you were just going to have one newer guy that could go against the Giants and win, my choice would be Ricochet. The reason it would be Ricochet is he has unique offense that might baffle some of the bigger guys. They can't hang with them speed-wise, and they probably can't handle him stamina-wise. So the big thing would be, can he outrun them? Can he wear them down? Yes, a lot of the things he's hitting them with isn't doing a lot of damage. But hitting him with so many. And now they're getting more tired. And now it's easier for him to hit them with other things. That's believable. But then his job is, when he gets caught, he has to sell like hell. Look at the AJ Styles-Brock Lesnar match they had. The whole entire first half of that match, if not first three quarters, was AJ Styles getting pounded into the ground. And then when it was clear that Brock Lesnar was tired and wanted to end it, he couldn't end it. And all of a sudden, AJ Styles started to catch a second wind. And fans started to say, uh-oh, here's Styles, and he's still relatively fresh. And Brock's out of gas, completely out of gas. And the announcers were even selling it, saying Brock Lesnar's red-faced, He's huffing and puffing. AJ Styles, it looks like, you know, he has another 15 minutes in him. This is bad news for Brock Lesnar. Now, in the end, Brock Lesnar won because he caught him, but it was logical. AJ Styles is a smaller man. He almost did it, but he didn't quite. Daniel Bryan was that guy, that one guy you could have. Now he's gone, so you can have one more guy like that. And that one more guy, forget the legends, because the legends have already established themselves, so forget Ray, forget AJ. That one guy that you could push as here is a relatively small guy who can beat the Giants should be Ricochet, in my opinion, Todd, because of his unique offense.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said with Ray and Ricochet, guys like that, you know. I could live with that, too, as well.
Yeah, now Derek is saying in the chat room, look at Almost. Almost is not a good wrestler. It wouldn't have been that long ago that people would have had tremendous heat for Almost. And you wouldn't have had 20-year-old guy saying, he can't wrestle, though. He's boring. You would have said, that son of a bitch, he's so much bigger than everybody else, it's not fair. And who's going to take him down? Who's going to be that guy? No. Fans have no patience for him. They're like, get him off TV. We don't want to see him. That's what you would have said about Andre. If Andre was breaking into the business today, you'd be saying the same thing about Andre the Giant you are currently saying about Almost. And that shows you that new fans, or relatively new fans, are on the wrong track. You need both. You need both. But we cannot have the larger guys and the larger-than-life guys be the minority. They have to be the majority. And then you have one or two guys, or maybe a tag team. The Rockers were that tag team, right? They weren't big, but their unique tag team offense took down bigger guys because they were such tag team experts. So we believed it. So you could have that. But if you want that one solo guy, he's got to be special, like Shawn Michaels was. He's got to have a unique offense that is believable, and he's got to go into a match with bigger guys, not saying, well, if I punch you, you got to react the same way if you punch me. No, that's the wrong psychology, and it's not true. You got to work around, this guy is obviously way more powerful than me. And the problem is, you'll do that if it's Ricochet versus Almost, but you won't do that if it's Ricochet versus Roman Reigns. Why? Roman Reigns is still way bigger than you. See, that's the problem. The guy's like, well, I'm 170, so if he's a giant, I'll sell that he's more, his punches hurt more. But not if he's just like 6'2", 260. Well, I got news. Go get hit by a 6'2", 260 dude. You got to – see, that's what Shawn Michaels was the master of. That's why, arguably, I think Shawn Michaels was the greatest professional wrestler in my lifetime so far. Because I watched how he handled different people. I watched how when he was in with a bigger guy, he showed, this guy's way too big for me to stand toe-to-toe with, way too big for me to hang on to for any length of time. I watched how he handled smaller guys. This guy's too fast for me, even though I'm fast. I watched how he handled guys who were supposed to be great shooters and mat wrestlers. I watched how he took every single opponent and asked himself a very important question. What about this particular person do I have to sell? People ain't doing that anymore. They're just coming to the ring saying, well, I'll punch you, you punch me, we'll sell equally. No. No. That's the problem. Look no further than Finn Balor's finishing maneuver. I'm sorry to tell you that if he hits somebody like Johnny Gargano with that, you could say, well, he might have broke his ribs. Is Otis supposed to sell that the same? Because if it hurts Otis to that degree, then it should kill Johnny Gargano. Correct? Makes no sense, Mike. And these are the psychological is starting to leave wrestling.
Absolutely. And think of it this way. Now, I know most of today's fans aren't us and don't know the history like we do. But think about it this way. Let's look at it in tag team ways. Way back when we were growing up, there were a couple of tag teams, you know, that fit this. And one was the Rock and Roll Express, which were Gibson and Martin, but they were smallish type guys. And then there were the Road Warriors, right? And they were 260. Each one of them was 260. And Animal, I believe, might have been even bigger than that, you know, at the time. Now, when those two teams would meet up, what would happen? Well, for the first several minutes, the Road Warriors would throw, don't matter which one, Gibson or Martin around. And then after a while, after about 6 or 7, 8 minutes, then the Rock and Roll Express would start to pick up the pace and go after them and double team moves and quick tags and just generally picking up the pace. And that's how that thing would work. When those two teams would fight each other, that's how that thing would work. Now, you put the Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express, that's totally different, you know?
Agreed. That's a good example. The thing about it is, every time we do one of these shows, somebody, oh, you hate small wrestlers. That's not true. I just told you I think Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler in my lifetime. And what was Shawn Michaels? He says he's 6 foot tall. Maybe he is. I doubt it. And even when he was on the steroids and pumped up, I doubt he was more than 220. The idea was the psychology behind it, and the psychology is being lost, completely lost. Think about it logically. So somebody like Drew McIntyre clotheslines Ricochet. And Ricochet flips up in the air and lands, and you say, oh, wow, look, he sold the power of Drew McIntyre. But then 2 seconds later, he's fine. Then you see Drew McIntyre do that same clothesline to Otis, and he lays there for a minute. And you say, well, wait a minute. How is it that Ricochet is tougher than Otis? That doesn't make sense. He has much more body mass to absorb that. Now, you either have to oversell that if you're Ricochet or say, I'm going to duck it because if you really hit me with that, it would kill me. So I'll duck it, or you'll just graze me or something where the announcers can say he didn't get it all. Otherwise, it becomes the land of the absurd. Finn Balor is the perfect example, like I said, with his bombs away thing. You're going to finish Otis off with that, and you're going to equally finish off a guy who weighs 200 pounds with that or 190 with that. Well, if it finishes off Otis and you do that exact same move, then that should kill the guy that's 190. Should break his rib. So really, Otis should have to no-sell that. Otis should have to be like, it hurt enough a little bit of the wind out of me, but you're not going to pin me with it. See, back in the old days, he'd hit Otis with that, and Otis would kick out. And the announcers would say, there's just not enough. Finn hit him with that, his finisher, which finishes off a lot of people, but Otis is a monster. And that body weight just absorbed a lot of that. He's going to have to do more than that. He's going to have to wear him down more than that. Nowadays, it's just like, oh, no, you're equal. There's no difference between Otis and The Miz. Yeah, there is. There's no difference between Otis and Chad Gable. Yeah, there is. So the lightweight guys who say, well, you got to sell for me, that makes it look when a larger guy has to sell a clothesline from a lighter guy, but the lighter guy doesn't have to sell the clothesline from the larger guy. So the lighter guy gets back up in 2 seconds. The larger guy's laying there, and the lighter guy picks him up. That doesn't make sense. And that's when I start to become disengaged from modern wrestling. But there are other things. I mean, if I could change one thing about wrestling, Mike, it would be this obvious cooperation moves. I would ban those moves completely. Now, I know it's dangerous to just jump over the top rope and fly out at a bunch of guys fighting. But their job is to, out of their peripheral vision, see you and then turn around when you're jumping. Not stand there, clearly watch you scale the buckles with their arms extended and wait for you to jump into them. Because that looks stupid. And it ruins the whole rest of the entire match because it's very clearly a cooperation move. And I just, you know, if people did that in my federation, I would fire them.
I would fire them, too. I mean, look, think about it this way. I mean, yeah, there are places where you can, if you have the right guys that can carry that stuff off and make it look real fine, whatever. But that's few and far between, you know, and that's the point. And the other thing is, yeah, I can buy, you know, Ricochet versus let's say Ricochet versus Corbin, right? Where Corbin goes for the end of days and Ricochet pulls off an athletic move that kind of subverts the admin, basically flipping up over his arm to not have him do the move. I can buy that. That I can buy, you know. And the other thing that gets me is the whole lessening of finishing maneuvers. And I'm looking right at the Young Bucks and the Super Kick Party.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, Derek's saying, how about Enzo? Well, the thing with Enzo is, Enzo was an entertainer first and a wrestler second. Enzo was one of those guys who you could say, give him the mic, he's going to go out there and be really entertaining. Is he going to give you a 5-star match? No. But he's somebody that you could root for. He's somebody that brought something to the table as far as entertainment value. Nowadays, I'm telling you, the modern mindset of wrestlers is my worth as an entertainer is in my wrestling itself. I entertain the crowd with my wrestling. Okay. You're saying, I entertain my audience with my fine acting ability. Therefore, even though I look like Woody Allen, I'm easily going to play the part of the commando in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Commando. No, you're not. Because they're not going to hire you. Period. No, you're not. And likewise, they're not going to hire Hulk Hogan to play Henry Fonda's part in On Golden Pond. Because people will say, well, that doesn't look right. Some great big giant dude sitting there, that's just not going to work. Of course it's not going to. Wrestling is a play. That's what it is, folks. It's a play. It's a play that you go to see. And when you cast a character, you have to cast the right character. And you don't do it solely based on their acting ability. Otherwise, how in the world would Arnold Schwarzenegger have ever gotten a movie? How in the world would Steven Seagal ever gotten a movie? Let alone worse people. They wouldn't have. They would have said, well, you look the part, but you're just not a good enough actor. No, they said, we'll work around the acting part because, man, do you look right. Wrestling is no different, folks. We'll work around the wrestling part because you look the part. That's the way it goes. And I know that modern fans don't feel that way. Because I've talked to them. and they say, I'd rather watch Adam Cole square off against Sammy Guevara than I would have seen Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Okay. Well, I'm not going to argue over which one's going to be the better match. We know which one's going to be the better match. Which one's going to be the more important match? Which one's going to sell out 80,000 seats in the Pontiac Silverdome? Because I think that's really the test, Mike.
Absolutely. And think about it another way. We praise the WWE when they put Adam Scherer and the Big Show in the ring before they had Adam Scherer, Braun Strowman lose all his weight. And we praised them because, yeah, it was only a 6 to 8 minute match, but between the two bells, those two men really got together and really put on a really good 8 minute match. You don't have to have a 25 minute match for it to be a good match. If you got the right guys together, an 8 minute match, 8 to 10 minute match can be very entertaining.
Agreed. I mean, again, we were going through WrestleManias that were being sold out by Roddy Piper versus Mr. T in a boxing match. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. And now wrestling fans are saying, my dream match is Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay. I'm not going to deny it's going to be a good athletic match, but I don't care who wins. I'm not interested in either guy's character. The feud, whatever reason they would have for the feud, is going to be pointless. And it's just not going to carry the same weight, and it never will, as Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. And that's just as simple as that. And anyone who says differently than that, you're just wrong. You're just going to have to accept the fact that you're wrong. So what is going to happen when Triple H takes over, Todd, completely, which I think he has to an extent. But I think this Clash at the Castle and everything, we've had this plan for a while. A lot of these plans were way ahead of time, so Triple H didn't have that much influence on them. Once this is over, Todd, I think this is where it's really going to begin.
I think you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when this Clash of the Castle is done and over with, I think by the looks of it, the Triple H era is going to end up starting. It's been doing a lot of changes, and I could see that happening.
Well, what do you think it's going to change to, though?
Different things.
Such as?
Booking and everything and the matches and, you know what I'm talking about, a lot of stuff like creative and writing and, you know, everything.
Yeah, I guess. But is it going to also include NXT light? You know, is it going to include basically Triple H just moved NXT to WWE?
But by the looks of it, as of right now, it looks like more NXT guys I see.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Mike, what do you think about that? Do you think Triple H is fully aware? If anybody should be fully aware, it should be Triple H, who clearly understood the entertainment era. My worry is he's going to cater to fans that he thinks are the new era of wrestling fans. And in reality, I don't think these fans are really the new era of wrestling fans. I think these fans who are demanding that style of indie wrestling, that's going to go out in about 2 or 3 years, and they're just going to find something else to do with their time. And then you don't have your old fans to fall back on.
Absolutely. And think about it this way. Here's something that's already apparently changing is that apparently Pete Dunne is going back to being Pete Dunne. All right. Which we liked him as Butch. another smallish wrestler who you have admitted was one of your favorite guys, right? But as Butch, he had a character, right? A definite character.
Yep.
Well, apparently he's going back to Pete Dunne. Now, granted, what can we see? I mean, look, a lot of these guys that are up now, like Otis, Corbin, are guys that are his type of guys, you know, that were in NXT when he first started out or close to it and were booking for him and all that stuff. So, yeah. And apparently they brought back the Road Dogg.
So, they did.
Yeah.
That could help. I mean, look, the Road Dogg has said a million times that if there's a fault in AEW, it's the lack of the entertainment value. But, again, it's almost like talking to someone who likes classical music. And they say, well, I'm a music lover just like you are. And you say, yes, you go to watch a classical concert pianist. And you marvel at how wonderful his ability on the piano is and how the music just makes you relax and you feel so de-stressed and you marvel at their ability. But I'm watching Rob Zombie and I'm saying, no, this gets me really pumped up and I love the show and the fireworks and the crazy things that's going on and the loudness and the costumes and whatever. Both are music. But I can't convince that concert pianist lover that Rob Zombie is good because he looks at them and says, yeah, but they don't have the talent of this guy. Well, no, you're right, they don't. But that guy doesn't have the entertainment value of Rob Zombie. That's where the sticking point is, Tom, and that's why wrestling fans are now at each other's throats, because there's two very defined different types.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you know, AEW and WWE are very different, and the type of fans that AEW attracts is the ones that want to see wrestling exhibitions, you know, Broadways or, you know, whatever they call them these days. WWE fans want to see the story. They may want to see wrestling too, but they want to see the story. I'm speaking for myself, and I'm sure I'm speaking for everybody on this panel, is that we want to see a story. We want to be invested in what's going on in a feud. AEW doesn't draw to me like that. It doesn't attract me like that. It's just all about wrestling, and it caters to one segment of the audience and of the wrestling fans out there, and that's it. And that's why I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't think they'll ever be as successful as they're, you know, portraying themselves to be. And it's really, you know, the fans being at each other's throats about it, I think that's just, I think it's absurd. It's like, you like what you like, and I like what I like, and don't, it's almost like politics. But it's, you know, you're on one's, you know, one's on one side, one's on the other.
Yes.
It's wrestling. It's entertainment. It's supposed to be. That doesn't mean one's better than the other just because they put on wrestling exhibition. It's your,
right.
Well,
well,
your,
yeah, you hit it right when you said it's like politics. I've talked to wrestling fans who literally, but here's what frustrates me. If wrestling fans truly felt that way, then they would say some of your older-time wrestlers, your Big John Studs, your Junkyard Dogs, your George the Animal Steels, your Rowdy Roddy Pipers, they ain't great wrestlers. They were slow. They didn't know a lot of moves. They didn't do a lot of this stuff. These guys are the real athletes. They don't do that. At least if they did that, I'd say, okay, I get what you're saying. You like this more physical, based on athleticism, style of wrestling. But they don't do that. They say, oh, no, those guys are legends. They're wonderful. Well, if they're wonderful, how come you don't want any more of them? If they're wonderful, how come you don't say, I can't wait for the next whoever fill in the blank? Because, Mike, it seems like the same time they're praising the guys that were the best entertainers, they're saying we don't want any.
That's right. And you made a very apt thing when you talked about the politics and entertainment and stuff. Think about it this way. Go back to the 1980s and what was going on. You had Ronald Reagan in office, and where did he come from? He was an actor first, right? They made fun of him for being an actor who wanted to be president, but he was an actor first. Any time he showed in front of Congress, yeah, you want to hear a speech because it was going to be good, but those speeches in front of Congress were always what? Entertaining, because he knew what he was doing. And even when he went and spoke on top of the Berlin Wall, that was, yeah, it was a special speech, but it was in an entertaining speech because he knew what he was doing. He knew how to entertain. Same, I mean, love him or hate him, President Trump, same thing, comes from the entertainment world. He's actually in the WWE Hall of Fame, right?
That's my point, Mike, is that you're going to have a certain amount of people. These people who are saying, well, guys like Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega, and all of these real, real heavily reliant upon athletic ability type wrestlers, these are the real wrestlers. But then they'll go watch Star Wars, and they're Star Wars fans. And you're like, oh, those guys are not good actors. How come you're not watching Tea with Mrs. Upton in the Red Room, where a bunch of people say, oh, it was just about four ladies having tea and telling the story of their lives. What marvelous actresses they were. And, oh, what compelling performances they gave. And because there really was no plot and they were just telling stories, can you imagine the acting ability it took to make it interesting? You wouldn't watch that movie on a dare. So why should I watch a wrestling match if it's just going to be based solely upon the talent of that person in the ring? Person in the ring to be talented, but there's many different kinds of talent. So yes, I'm going to tell you right now, if I started a federation and you said you can have Will Ospreay or you can have Damian Sandow, I'm taking Damian Sandow. If you told me you can have Finn Balor or Enzo, I'm taking Enzo. If you told me you could have Kenny Omega or MJF, I'm taking MJF. Because I know at the end of the day, I can get those guys to entertain that crowd to the point where it doesn't even matter if they do a two-minute match. It doesn't matter. Because that 2 minutes is going to be intense because the crowd's really going to want to see it. Two guys saying, well, now we got to go out there and do 20 minutes because that's what the fans expect. I enjoyed AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar infinitely more than AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania was just a solid wrestling match, nothing special. There was a story, a build, a drama to Brock Lesnar versus him. I knew AJ Styles wasn't going to win, but I will be damned if the closing minutes of that match, I didn't start second-guessing myself. Because I said, well, they're setting it up. Brock Lesnar's exhausted. Paul Heyman's having a heart attack. AJ Styles is all over him. He's going to freaking lose. And then, boom, just like that, he wins. And I'm like, okay, I figured that. But, wow, they really had me for a second. And Tom, that's kind of what wrestling's supposed to be. See, if we got Tom there. Tom, can you hear? No, we cannot. Tom stepped out for a Monster Energy drink. Todd, isn't what wrestling's really about? Is letting you go through that roller coaster, you know, of emotions?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, the wrestling business should be entertainment, not a sport. Like you said, I get emotionally involved in wrestling angles back then. Now there's like, okay, now we're just going to see this match with no storytelling. That's how I feel now about it.
See, and that's how I feel about it, too, to a large degree. So what will Triple H do? Well, Triple H can send a very, very positive message to the old-school wrestling fans by doing one of two things. A, hire back Bray Wyatt, to which we already know Bray Wyatt's not giving us five-star matches, and you're not hiring him back because he's going to light it up in the ring. Or bring up or hire some people who are clearly more of an entertainment-based worker. Because then at least you'll show me we are going to have a mixture. I mean, right now we sort of do have a mixture. A little mixture. But the mixture is starting to slant the other way. It's starting to slant to we are basing it off the same thing NXT based it off of. And I'm worried about that. I want there to be a mixture of entertainers and athletes and some people who can do both. There are some people in the WWE can do both. I would think that Sami Zayn is a very good wrestler. He's also a very good entertainer. I think that there are several people in the WWE right now. Kevin Owens is a good entertainer, but he's also a good wrestler. But a guy like Elias, he's never going to give you a five-star match. But that whole crowd was chanting Walk with Elias. They were singing his songs. They were buying downloads from a guy who really isn't a guy you'd buy a download from. The whole crowd. And you're not going to tell me that that's not important. You can't tell me that's not important. Now you can say, well, the whole crowd was cheering for Johnny Gargano. Yeah, the whole crowd is cheering for Johnny Gargano. Let's see what happens when he goes out in the Midwest, where people just want to see entertainment and not a bunch of, smart marks. Let's see what happens. All I know is this. At one point, the whole crowd was chanting Rusev Day. At one point, the whole crowd was singing He's Got the Whole World in His Hand. At one point, the crowd was cheering Walk with Elias. And all three of those guys were squashed out because they were primarily entertainers with solid wrestling skills. Not super athletes, but solid wrestling skills. And replacing them with Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, at least in my opinion, Mike.
Right. And think about it this way. Right now in his career, where's Shinsuke Nakamura? I mean, yeah, early on in his career, he was doing in Japan the 20-minute matches and all that stuff, right? But right now, he's more of an entertainer than he is a wrestler, right? I would assume that every so often he could do a 20-minute match if he wanted to, right? But he doesn't want to do that. He'd rather be here and doing the whole, come on, doing his little dances to the ring, maybe even having Boogs come back and play him to the ring. You know, he'd rather be the entertainer right now than doing the 20-minute matches.
Yeah, well, there does come a time in people's career where you do have to do that. I mean, Matt Hardy did it, right? Matt Hardy was the smarter of the two Hardy boys. Matt Hardy said, look, I can get away with this woke Matt Hardy where I basically just headbutt people and kick them. And as long as I, you know, say things like the mower of lawns and I do all these weird things, people like me more because of the things I did outside the ring than the things I'm doing inside the ring. I'm more important to them for the things I do away from actual wrestling than the actual moves I use. And that elongated his career, where Jeff Hardy said, I still have to jump off high ladders at the same age. See, that's the difference, folks. That's the difference. So Shinsuke Nakamura wised up and said, yeah, I could keep doing this for, you know, and how long is my career going to be before I accidentally get injured or I just say my body's had enough or I end up at 60 years old and I need a cane and says, yeah, this is fine. I'll do my entertainment stuff. Those are usually the smarter guys. Look, I have went to wrestling conventions, and I have seen guys who primarily were entertainers, and they walk fine. They talk fine. They're in their 60s, some of them older, and they don't have this problem. And then you look at people who really busted ass, and you're like, they're walking with a cane, over. You can tell they're in pain. They're limping. They've got issues. They've had four surgeries. You know? And then there are people who were both. Mick Foley was both. Mick Foley was a great entertainer. And he proved he didn't have to do the hardcore stuff because he was entertaining his, you know, Dude Love. But he was also entertaining his Cactus Jack. So there lies the difference. And so far, Triple H has not made any moves that assure me that he understands that the loyal WWE fans who've been with him them since the Hogan era, if not before some, want some entertainers too. They don't just want, here's Johnny Gargano and he's really good and he, you know, okay, great. But when I see him in the ring, I don't think of, that's a superstar. I say, he's a good athlete, okay. But he's not fun. He's not somebody you're like, oh, so-and-so's coming out. It's just like, okay, well, he'll put on a good match when he puts on a match. But there's nothing super special. That, in my opinion, Mike, is an issue. And so far, I can't think of one Triple H re-signing that indicates to me that he's going to add more entertainment-based wrestlers to the roster.
Absolutely. I mean, look, he could. We know at some point Boogs is going to come back, and Boogs is not all that fiery as a wrestler, but he's an entertainer. All right, we know that Elias is coming back. He's the entertainer. All right, maybe he feels like he has guys that can do the entertainment that he doesn't need to bring in any other guys. Well, I'm gonna assume that at some point he's gonna seriously think about bringing back Bray Wyatt is Triple H, because he Bray Wyatt's one of his guys, right? And he probably feels they shouldn't have fired him in the first place, you know. Now, one of the other things that Triple H can do is not go woke.
Well, do you see any indications he might?
No, I don't see anything. Not yet, at least.
See, I don't either yet. One thing I do see, though, that I do worry about when it comes to will he go woke, is this, what's the right word for it? This over-concentration on the women's division. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. And if people want to call me a misogynist, people want to call me whatever, then go ahead. Because I'm tired of the labels. I'm tired of if I express my opinion, I'll be called something. I don't know anybody who tunes in to see women's wrestling. I just don't. I know people who enjoy it. But if you had just an all-woman show, if right now you said, okay, WWE is going to have an all-women show, start to finish, nothing but women's wrestling, 2 hours on a, I don't know, Thursday night, Wednesday, whatever night you want to do it. You know what the ratings are going to be? 200,000. Don't believe me? What's the ratings for women's basketball? What's the ratings for women's hockey? What's the ratings for women's baseball? Enlighten me. Enlighten me on the sport that has equal ratings for the women's division. Maybe tennis. That's about it. Not even golf. So you're not going to convince me that for every male match you have, you must have a female match. That's dumb. because that's not what people are tuning in to see. It is nice if you have a women's division. It is. Listen, there's no bigger Asuka fan than me. I love Asuka. And I love Alexa Bliss. And I want to see him. But I don't necessarily want to say, well, we're doing a three-hour show and an hour and a half has to be dedicated to the women and an hour and a half has to be dedicated to the men, because we have to show that we're fair. We have to show that we're just. We have to show that we're equal. I don't think that's true, Mike, and I think that's going to hurt them.
I mean, look, you got to ask yourself, does Bellatrix draw over there in England? I've seen it. I like it. I watch it every so often. Does Stardom draw over there in Japan? You know?
Well, see, that's what people are going to say. They're going to say, well, how about Japanese wrestling? Oh, I'm not talking about Japanese wrestling. Okay? I'm not talking about Japanese wrestling. There are plenty of things that go over big in Japan that don't go over in the United States. There are plenty of things that are big in Germany that don't go over big in the United States. I'm just telling you that on the average in the United States, women's sports are not as popular as men. So if I were the WWE in a two-hour SmackDown, I would have maybe a women's segment and a women's match. In a three-hour Raw, maybe I'd have two women's matches and a woman's segment. But I would not lead off the show with it because this is the most important thing. It's not the most important thing. And you pretending it because you want to seem like you're woke and you're perfectly equal is stupid. Now I'm going to be very frank again, and this is probably even going to make some people on the panel mad because I know that we all like Bayley. This particular thing that's happening with Bayley now, I don't know what the hell happened in Bayley's life, but she looks 20 years older, 50 pounds heavier, and she just ain't convincing me of a damn thing. I know she had some ring rust. I forgave that, but I'm looking at her saying, I'm sorry, she doesn't look that tough to me. She just doesn't. The other two girls do, but Bayley looks like she's ran her course. And she's younger than some of them. I don't know what happened. But she better get herself back into some kind of shape and looking a little different, because right now she just ain't any way, shape, or form. And if that makes me sound horrible, remember I'm saying the same thing about Karrion Kross. He's going to sit there and say TikTok and show the devil tarot card, and he looks like some dude at a football game who'd be standing there going, go Vikings! And, you know, shave your head, do something with your eyebrows to make you look darker and more evil and whatever, and come across as a guy who's really a little warped. Because right now you don't look like a guy who's a little warped. You look like every guy I ever ran into at a football game in New York. So equally, I'm saying you got to look the part, Tom.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Karrion Kross, although his gimmick is cool, it doesn't speak to me as it would if he's got the gimmick down. Is that the look doesn't speak to me as the gimmick does. And, yeah, he definitely needs to improve on that aspect of it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I bought his character in NXT. The way they presented him in NXT, I said, and I'll continue to say, that he looked better in NXT, but they still blew it. Karrion Kross should have been a guy that said very little, and I mean very little. I don't care if he's a good promo. Let Scarlett do the talking. And he just needs to look psychopathic, dangerous, warped, creepy, scary. That's it. To the point where you say, the guy really does look like a psychopath. He don't say much. He says TikTok and a few other things. Not wrapped too tight. But when he's sitting there giving these long, oh, Drew McIntyre, it's great to see that your story of your life, and it's very inspiring, but I don't want to hear that from him. Now, if Scarlett said it, if Scarlett said, I'm sure it, you know, the fans were just enthralled by your heart-wrenching story of how much you went through in your life, Drew. But do you honestly think that the man next to me cares at all? And all he has to do is shake his head and laugh. Do you honestly think that's going to cut you any slack? Do you honestly think that's going to make him give you any mercy? Do you honestly think that changes anything? Because he doesn't care. And then all he has to say is TikTok. That's it. For him to say, well, Drew, that was quite a dissertation you gave. I don't want to hear it. Because then you've ruined that image of that psychopathic character.
Don't worry about it. Go away.
Yep, we got something going on there, so I'll go to Todd. Todd, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be better if Scarlett did most of the talking and he just was a psychopath in the background?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I think Scarlett should be the mouthpiece and have Karrion Kross be like the psychotic, smiley, scary-looking psychotic guy in the background. And like you said, he needs to change his appearance as well.
See, remember, Tom, when The Undertaker first showed up, how long was it before The Undertaker said much of anything except rest in peace? It was Paul Bearer who said all the stuff, while The Undertaker just rolled his eyes and looked weird. And then, okay, once he got established, a couple years down the road, he began to talk more. But Karrion Kross isn't in that position yet, Tom.
Yeah, Paul Bearer definitely talked for The Undertaker. I mean, and I don't remember The Undertaker actually even cutting a promo until the Attitude Era, really, when they brought Kane in. Other than that, before that, he was, you know, he's rolling his eyes back and letting Paul Bearer do the speaking for him. And that was the mystique behind the character. You bought it. It was, he had to.
Exactly. And that's why it was special. Let me say this to all you wrestling historians. I don't believe, I'd have to go back and check, but I don't believe The Undertaker ever uttered a single word except rest in peace until he turned face and said to Jake Roberts, who said, whose side are you on anyway? And he said, not yours. And that's what made those two words so shocking, because we said, we never heard him say anything. And suddenly he just said, not yours. And that was like, oh, impact. Wow. Then later he started talking. But even then, what did he do? He'd talk about the souls and this and that. You didn't hear The Undertaker say, well, that was quite a speech you gave, Triple H, and it's very heart-touching, and I understand that, but I'm a superior athlete, and I'm coming after. He didn't do that. You know why he didn't do it? Because it would have hurt his character. That's why he didn't do it. So I think Karrion Kross has been given some bad advice. If I had a guy as valuable as Karrion Kross on my roster, I would tell Scarlett, you're doing all the talking for him, except he's saying TikTok, maybe doing a little laughing, maybe another word or two, at least for a while, until we've played out. And I always use the analogy, squeezed all the juice from the orange. Until we squeezed every drop of juice from that I'm a psychopath who you absolutely do not want to get in a ring with out of Karrion Kross, he wouldn't utter more than a few words. Then, when all that juice was drained, and we say we may have to think about flipping him, then he could talk a little more. Then we'd have him say a few extra words. And slowly, we would ease up his scary persona. Keep it, but ease up on it a little bit. They're doing that right now, and they're just making him look like any other guy.
Absolutely. Think about it this way, Marcus, and look at what's happened over the time he was there with Dexter Lumis. He's spoken very little. Yeah, he gave Indy Hartwell that note, but that was a written thing, right? But he's spoken very little. Even when he came up to the big roster, he's spoken very little, right? Because it really wouldn't fit his character if he spoke. Oh yeah, he'll look at you sideways, that crazed look and all that stuff. But generally speaking, he lets the Miz and the rest of them, the other people, do the talking. I mean, when he was with Johnny Gargano, Johnny Gargano or Candice LeRae, and later on Indy Hartwell, did all the talking for him, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the way it should have been. That's the way it should have been. Now, I never was too sure on who Dexter Lumis was supposed to be. My assumption was they were taking some of it off the Dexter, the serial killer thing. I don't know. And then they said something about he's an artist I don't know what the hell he was supposed to be. I was never super sure. But I know what Karrion Kross was supposed to be. Supposed to be some sort of occultish person. Maybe not a supernatural person, but someone who believed in the occult. Someone who's maybe Scarlet studied the occult, and they had their charts and their times and their this is the best time for you to win and this is that and, you know, the stars and the moon aligning and that kind of stuff. But the occultish sort of people. And he was supposed to be on the darker side of that evil side of the occult. And she was supposed to be, quote-unquote, his witch. You know? And now it just seems like he's a guy buying a hot dog at a you know, Giants game, and she's still doing the witch thing. It's not working because he doesn't look like that anymore, and he doesn't sound like that anymore. And his the factor of people fearing him is going way down because in reality, he's not that big of a guy. He's not small. He's certainly not, you know, Johnny Gargano. But he's not Drew McIntyre either. And if you want to have that sort of fear thing, it's got to be because he's an absolute psychopath. To the point where you say, as scary and weird and creepy as Scarlett is, she at least can control him a little bit. God forbid that she can't, because Lord knows what he'd do. That's the vibe that has to come out of him. It's not coming out of him for me. So, Tom, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I'm sure that eventually, you know, through some development that it'll get. You know, I'm sure he's capable that it'll get better with some development, but he definitely needs to improve on the promo skills.
So what is your opinion? I want your opinion as a wrestling fan. What would you rather see? Would you rather see a 4 or 5-star match put on by two guys named Joe Smith and John Brown? Or would you rather see a match that has a story built up to the point where the outcome is making you bite your fingernails?
No, I'd rather see a story. I'd rather see a match that's built up, you know, like the WWE used to do when they actually had pay-per-views and they built the story up for a year, you know, and then before.
Yeah, you see, I would too. But I know what I'm saying is true when I tell you that there's a lot of wrestling fans who don't. I talk to them and they say, who cares? I go to see the wrestling. If they want to give me a 20-minute match where I'm seeing great wrestling, I'm going to come home happy. I'm sorry, I can't relate. See, I could appreciate it if it was just one match. ECW had those. ECW gets a really bad rap where they say, oh, yeah, ECW, where everybody just went through fire tables and beat each other in the head with barbed wire bats. That's not true. I saw Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, and that was 5-star matches every goddamn night with no hardcore, no bleeding, no blading, just damn good, solid wrestling. And the reason that was fine is because it was different. You didn't see it every match. If I saw that every match, then I would say, oh, here's another one. Same thing. They're going to go 20 minutes and then this fall and that. No, they were special. They came after guys are beating the hell out of each other with barbed wire ball bats. And you're like, this is different. This is very different. And then the next match was like a lucha-style match. And you say, okay, this is very different. And then the next match was a comedy match. And you're like, okay, that's very different. ECW gets a bad rap. Well, they were just a hardcore blood, you know, mark federation. That's not true, Mike. They, on a regular basis, presented several different forms of wrestling.
Absolutely. And think about this. What was one of the most more entertaining things that ECW did? 9-1-1.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a match. Wasn't even a match. Or, look, Bill Alfonso. Bill Alfonso versus, was it Beulah McGillicuddy? My God. Fans went nuts. Because the story was so good. But you see, I could sit in an ECW audience and I could see Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko and say, wow. I could see Tommy Dreamer versus Raven and go, wow. I could see Rey Mysterio versus Psychosis or Super Crazy and go, wow. I could see the Blue Meanie versus the Dudleys and go, wow. Very different styles of wrestling, every single one of them. Every one of those matches. What I'm seeing now is a more cookie-cutter style, where every match is basically the same type of match. And I don't want to see it. I don't want to see every match be an indie-style match. I don't want to see it. If you want to give me one or two on a card, fine. Then give me one or two highly entertaining matches. Give me a lucha-style match. Give me a comedy match. And give me a mostly gimmick match. Then you've satisfied everybody. But I think Triple H is going to try to bend over backwards to satisfy what he thinks is the new breed of wrestling fan that I think temporary fan base. And I've always said that. I said that about AEW. I said AEW has a lot of temporary fans because the people who want to see this, they're going to want to see it for so long, and then they're going to say, I outgrew it. I'm on to other things. You do that with music. Think of some music you listened to when you were a kid. And then you say, oh, wait a minute. I put that on the other day, and I'm like, I listened to that when I was a kid. It's not very good. I outgrew it, right? That's what's going to happen here. But then there are certain things you never outgrow. You never outgrow going to see a good movie, right? You never outgrow going to see a good horror movie and you're like, wow, that really did give me a few moments of suspense. Or you never outgrow seeing a good action movie and say, wow, that did put me on the edge of my seat. That's something you never outgrow. So that's what the WWE has got to concentrate on. I'm not saying throw those fans under the bus. You want to give me Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa, do it. You want to give me Johnny Gargano versus Theory, do it. But don't make it the central focus of your federation because it's not big enough, commercial enough. The central focus of your federation has to be something like Roman Reigns versus The Rock. That's going to be big. That's my thoughts anyway, Mike. And I think that time will bear me out on it.
Apparently, yes. Another thing, another change that looks like it's going to happen, and probably Triple H is behind this, is Legado del Fantasma. All of them are coming up.
Yes. Now, the million-dollar question there is, heels or faces? And how do we work this? See, the ultimate wrestlers to me have always been people who can kind of entertain and deliver. I think the Federation has many of them. But some of them are underutilized, and some of them, you know, we're just starting to see, like the Street Profits. I think they can be entertaining, and they can also deliver in the ring. The Usos are entertaining, but they can deliver in the ring. New Day is entertaining, but they can deliver in the ring. But I don't see Tommaso Ciampa as entertaining. He can deliver in the ring. I don't see Johnny Gargano as entertaining. He can deliver in the ring. I don't see Finn Balor as entertaining. He can deliver in the ring. I don't even see Hit Row as all that entertaining. I see them as annoying. I don't know how you missed the boat on Hit Row being bad guys, because they're annoying. With a capital A. But maybe they can ease them up somehow. I don't know. So if you're going to bring up that whole faction, you better make sure they're entertaining. Because what I'm starting to see, Mike, is 2 years ago's NXT roster become the new WWE roster, and that 2 years ago NXT roster didn't draw 800,000 people.
Absolutely. And I brought up Elgato del Fantasmo because I think all of them, well, maybe not so much the lady, but the men, Jordan Wild was, Joaquin Wild was somebody in TNA at one point, and he was entertaining, and he's been entertaining, and Escobar is very entertaining guy, you know. So, and look, before they fired Hit Row and brought him up and fired him the first time, what were they doing in NXT? They were in a feud with Legado del Fantasma. Now, granted, the main guy is over there in AEW right now, and apparently he doesn't want to go back to WWE, but three of the four are there, you know?
Absolutely. Now, right now in NXT, how many people do we have that we say, well, they're extremely entertaining and they probably, like, I don't think Braun Breaker's extremely entertaining. I just don't. He's okay wrestler. But I think if he showed up on the main roster and just did what he did here, I don't think he's going to be that popular. I don't find him all that entertaining. Once again, we got to decide. If Triple H is smart, he will say, I have to cater to all the fan base. I'm catering to the Lucha crowd. I'm going to cater to the hardcore crowd a little bit. Now, we did see on SmackDown this week, Drew McIntyre take multiple chair shots. And I know some pictures have been posted of his back looking like raw hamburger. They highly enhance that. I've been hit with chairs that many times, and I'll tell you exactly what it does. It's like being slapped. If somebody continually slaps you on the back, it does get pink and welt up a little bit, but it doesn't get blood red like that. I believe they enhance that. Still, it looked good, and it was fairly hardcore, so you say, okay. We have Rey Mysterio, and I would consider Ricochet sort of lucha style, certainly. And if you want to have Gargano and Ciampa and those guys in for the, you know, the indie feel matches, fine. Now let's get a few more entertainers in there, and then everybody will be happy. But don't move the entertainers out of the way to make room for the indie style guys, because they're never going to be your top draws. They're just never going to be. I'm telling you, they're not going to be. And it's a huge mistake. There's not a kid on this planet who's going to say to his mom, can I please go to the store? I need to get a Tommaso Ciampa t-shirt for school, or a Johnny Gargano t-shirt. No. They're going to say Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss. That's what they're going to say. The way it is, folks. Now, SmackDown this week had a couple of good parts. But my favorite one was obviously Sheamus's confrontation with Gunther. I do think they one thing they handled poorly, however. I never want to hear from Gunther, ever, ever, ever want to hear from Gunther, you are an admirable opponent and a worthy adversary. It is not who he's supposed to be. I would have rather heard him say, at one time I would have considered you this. You are a cartoon. You're not half the man you used to be. And I'm going to prove it, and I'm going to destroy you. Because then you know, well, you're going to pull something out of Sheamus you don't want to see. I don't want Gunther to give any leeway. I want him to be the hated bad guy, and I don't want him to be acknowledging how great somebody is or how worthy somebody is. I don't want it. And I think that was a mistake. But what wasn't a mistake is to have them just stare at each other while the rest of them are fighting with Butch and Ridge Holland. Because that showed there's an intensity there. This is going to steal the show. I'm telling you right now, it's going to steal the show. I know the most important thing is Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. Spoiler alert, Karrion Kross will interfere. But this match is going to steal the show, in my opinion. And you're going to see the exact type of wrestling that I like. No, they're not going to beat each other in the head with barbed wire baseball bats. No, they're not going to do 1,600 super kicks. No, they're not going to dive off the tops of buildings and do corkscrew planches. They're just going to beat the hell out of each other. And I'm telling you, when they get done, you're going to see on their body, they took one for the team. They're not going to be easy on each other. They're going to work stiff. They're going to work hard. And they're going to really have what I want to see in a wrestling match, which is just good old-fashioned hard work. And, Mike, I'm very much looking forward to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. Because we know what Sheamus can do, you know. And basically, we've said it about Gunther. They never should have made him lose the weight because he just doesn't look like – I mean, Sheamus at 260, he looks even bigger, Sheamus. You know, he's lost weight as Sheamus, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but he still looks – instead of looking 260, he looks 280. Whereas –
You're right.
What's his name? Gunther just looks thin.
You know, I agree with you, but I've had this argument with fans who say, oh, you're against somebody getting in really good shape. No, I'm not against – see, this is the problem with the modern wrestling fan. They don't get it. They don't get that looks matter. Braun Strowman turned into a bodybuilder, and his career was over because psychopathic mountain men who worship from some weird Louisiana bayou cult do not have gym membership. The way he looked when he came in was just like some dude who probably cut down trees and chopped wood, and he was just a big, massive, monstrous dude. Watching his carbs, he wasn't on a keto diet. He wasn't doing ab work on Wednesday and leg work on Thursday. That destroys your image. And what happened, ladies and gentlemen? What happened when Braun Strowman got ripped? The monster went away, and just another wrestler with a good physique took over. Happens all the time, Mike, and it all boils down to appearance. Appearance matters.
Yeah, appearance matters. And what have we been saying for the longest time about Becky Lynch?
Yes.
The exact same thing. The exact same
yep.
thing.
And we're saying it about Becky Lynch. We're saying it about Bayley. We're saying it about Karrion Kross. We're saying it about Gunther. So none of you people write me and tell me you're being misogynistic. I've just named two females and two males I don't think look the part anymore. That's equality. That's equality. Now, as far as what they did with the Viking Raiders, I was very disappointed not to see Sarah Logan. I still think she might be coming in. They might be saving it. I wasn't as against the angle as some people were, saying, well, did it bury the Viking Raiders? I don't think it did, because they truly were supposed to think that one of them was in a wheelchair, so they sure as hell didn't expect to be sneak attacked. So, and I thought Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston actually did a really good job this time of saying no more comedy, no more jokes. And then even when they came out, they didn't do the comedy and the jokes. They literally said, can you not give us just 2 minutes to say what we have to say? Can you just not give us 2 minutes? See, that's good. And what the Viking Raiders said made perfect sense. They said, well, we already honored you as warriors and burnt you an effigy and everything, and now you're out here whining about it. And we don't respect that, which is true. That was the Viking motto. So it kind of made sense. I still say, as much as I love the New Day, and again, and I always get heat for this, I think the New Day might be, in the history of the WWE, might go down as the greatest tag team of all time simply because of their longevity and how long they remained relevant, how long they remained on top, how much merchandise they sold, how popular they were, how many tickets they sold. You could argue the Usos are just as good, but they did not sell that much merchandise and they did not draw that many people. Close, maybe, but no, I still say it's the New Day. But the New Day have to lose. If the Viking Raiders are going to be this team that you don't fuck with, they have to lose. And I know people say, well, they're not going to lose because, look, they got made look stupid and this is going to be their revenge. You're probably right. But then you killed the Viking Raiders. Viking Raiders can't lose this match. So, Todd, we'll see what they do with the Viking Raiders, but in my opinion, they got to go over.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. They need to get over. They need to get over really fast. Like you said, by the looks of it, they're not getting over at all at this moment. They need to do something.
They don't have to get over clean either. They can beat New Day by cheating or something happening, but they do have to win the match, Tom.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And if they, you know, if they just come out, to be honest with you, you know, the New Day has some momentum going into this match, but the Viking Raiders, the new and improved Viking Raiders, or whatever you want to call them, they need to beat the snot out of the New Day. And the New Day needs to go. Kofi and Xavier need to go away for a while and just cycle them down and then give the Viking Raiders another team to work with and do the same thing. Because if they're supposed to be the new and mean and improved Viking Raiders, I'm sorry to say, you know, sorry. I don't see any new and improved. I see the same Viking Raiders. They look a little different, but I see the same, you know.
See, in my opinion, they've got to do something that fans would consider despicable. They've got to do something that you say, okay, that really did honestly cross the line. There's no reason for that. I think they do have to put one of them out, legitimately. But whether they're going to be able to do that, I don't know. I mean, I agree with most wrestling fans when they say, well, you know, they're setting this up for New Day to get the win. Probably. But then what's the new vicious Viking Raiders supposed to be? Well, we came in and we lost our first feud, really. That's what it is, right? Now, my hope, a little bit of hope I gleaned from SmackDown is they put Hit Row and the Street Profits together. And though they appear to be friends, I'm getting a feeling that they might be putting them together to eventually feud. And if they do, the WWE is probably going to turn the Street Profits. I disagree. I think you should flip Hit Row. Because their whole persona just screams heel to me. I don't know. That's the way I feel about it, Mike. What's your thoughts?
And not only should they do what you just said, but if you're going to do this, and we know at some point if they do that, that B-Fab is going to get involved, then that's when you bring in what's her name? Bianca Belair, because that would be it. And if you want to make something, if you want to make something of B-Fab, and by all rights, she was a pretty good athlete, but she never got her chance in the ring. If you want to make something, you gotta do it against Bianca Belair.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do it again. You can be friends for a little while. You can build that up. But I'm hoping that you're saying this is long-term storytelling. We're going to be friends until we're not. I'm hoping that's where that's going. Now, as far as this women's tag team championship ridiculousness, I mean, this is just too much for me to take. You've already basically ruined the careers of Xia Li and several other women in this tournament to the point where it's literally like, well, why bother? I guess Nikki Cross got hurt. I don't know if it's a legitimate injury or what, but I mean, at this point, there are women in this division who literally have no storyline. They have no relevance. They just don't have anything. What's Aaliyah doing? Hanging around with Raquel Rodriguez. Okay, well, Raquel Rodriguez should be marching on toward a championship. Feuding maybe, you know, let her go to the other brand and feud maybe with Rhea Ripley or something. Xia Li's done. He brought her in as the protector. I'm the big superhero type woman, and that didn't work. So now she's just a jabron. D-Cross is a jabron. Doudrop is basically a jabron. And I'm saying, my God, you don't have that many women. You can't have half of the women in your division be irrelevant when you don't have that many. It's tricky. It's tricky. I don't care. I don't give one damn about these women's tag team belts. I just don't. And I'm starting to lose interest, to be honest with you, in control, because I don't think Bayley's doing a great job. I just don't. It doesn't look like her heart's in it. I just don't know. I get a weird vibe from Bayley, and I'm not buying any of it. That's all. I don't know what happened where she was gone for a year and a half or whatever it was, but something just doesn't feel right. And to be honest with you, Mike, I wouldn't be surprised if this falls flat very soon.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to last very long. I mean, I still like, you know, the whole thing with, what do we call those two other women? Kai and Ty or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Kai or whatever. I like, but again, Bayley doesn't look like herself, and it's mainly due to how she's presenting right now. She's the opposite of what Becky Lynch was. Becky Lynch didn't look like herself because she was too thin. Bayley doesn't look like herself because she's carrying a little bit too much weight. See how I'm thinking, Marcus?
What's that?
Becky Lynch is having the problems, the opposite problems Bayley is having the exact opposite problems that Becky Lynch has in terms of how she presents herself. Becky Lynch's problem was she's too thin, and Bayley's problem is she's a little bit overweight.
Yeah, and it's fine to be. I mean, so is Doudrop, and that's fine. But she just doesn't look the part. She doesn't look like the part she's playing. Doudrop is playing that part, so she looks like that. You can't have Doudrop be Becky Lynch. If Becky Lynch came out and said, my name is Doudrop, then you'd be like, well, that doesn't work in any way, shape, or form. We know what Doudrop's supposed to be like. We'll see. The problem is Dakota Kai and Io Sky have about as much charisma as an ice cube. Not that they're not good wrestlers, but they have no charisma. And Bayley used to have a world of it, and now she has little to none. And that's a problem. That's a problem. All the charisma in the women's division is Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka, basically. Charlotte when she's there. But that's about it. Some of them could have it, but you're not allowing them to have it, so they don't. That's a big problem. It's a big problem, and that's why I just think it was a bad idea to have these tag team belts. But this week, I'm going to give SmackDown a B+ because I do think they tried hard. The Baron Corbin match with Ricochet was good. It was exactly what I said Ricochet should wrestle like, whereas it clearly showed that Baron Corbin was stronger, powerful, a greater force to be reckoned with, but he ran out of gas because Ricochet was able to avoid his major moves, and Corbin just got caught up. Simple as that. I can live with that. But I can't live with a whole federation of NXT alumni taking the place of much more charismatic superstars who have personalities and characters and are larger than life. That I can't take, because I think that's a recipe for disaster. If you're just going to make WWE another version of NXT or AEW, then there's no point. The idea is WWE was always different. So whatever other federation, you say, well, there's some similarities, but they're very different. The WWE is unique. The WWE becomes non-unique, then I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, I gave it a B+. Todd, what's your rating on SmackDown this week?
I'm going to give it a B+ as well. I like.
Okay, Mike, what's your thoughts on it this week?
I would give it a B+ as well, and here's something else to think about. Two guys that I would think that Triple H would think about bringing back, and I would think about it too, would be Enzo and Big Cass. They both got themselves in a big, great shape, and they both got personalities, and we know what Enzo can do on the mic, and we know that he has personality and charisma. So if anything, those are the two guys I think that Triple H should seriously think about bringing back.
If Triple H were to bring back Enzo and Cass and possibly Bray Wyatt, I would say, okay, he understands. And the WWE is going to be all right because he's going to mix indie-style, modern fan wrestling's wants with the old-school wrestling fans' wants, and I'm good with that. I don't have to like every match or find every match my style. I just don't want to tune into WWE and find out your style is gone and it's being replaced with this, because I can go to any indie federation and sit front row for $20 and see that. Anyway, folks, thanks for joining us, and we will be back here on Tuesday with a Monday Night Raw review.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.